Think for a moment about the first reading that we had this evening from the book of Genesis, how God created all things, and he said that all things he created were good. In the Gospels, Jesus is called good, and he says, "Why do you call me good? Only one is good, God alone." And he's reminding us that the goodness of God reflects the perfection of God. So when God made the world and God made the first human beings and called all of this good, what he says is, this is a reflection of myself. My own goodness is in the very thing that my hands have made. And it was good. It was perfectly good. And we screwed it up. We did that by sin. We thought that we were better than God and turned our backs on God to find our own way. And of course, that plunges the world into sin and death and all the things that accompany it. So what God makes is good. When human beings do something apart from God, we foul it. And that's every time. God made the world to be good and beautiful. And we can use the things of the earth, but we should never destroy the things of the earth. God put various kinds of human beings in the world to cooperate with one another, and we fight with one another, argue, divide ourselves against one another, and kill one another. Why do we do these things? The whole point of tonight, of Easter, is the fact that sin has been defeated by Christ. God did not want the world, and the human beings included, that he created, to be divided from him forever through sin. He did not want us to be lost forever through death, and so he wanted to make all things new. If you listen to the prayer that I prayed after the seventh reading, it was exactly that. God of unchanging power and eternal light, look with favor on the wondrous mystery of the whole church and serenely accomplish the work of human salvation which you plan for all eternity. May the whole world know and see that what was cast down is raised up. What has become old is made new, and all things are restored to integrity through Christ, just as by him they came into being. There are some people who believe in God. They believe that a deity exists, and that God created the world, much like a watchmaker makes a watch, winds it up and then kind of puts it off on its side to do its own thing, and then leaves it alone, and then nothing ever happens after that. That God has no divine intervention in the world that he created. That's stupidly false, because God loves his creation. God didn't just make the world and set it on its own. He wanted to be a part of it. This is why, if you read in the book of Genesis, God is actually in the Garden of Eden conversing face to face with Adam and Eve. He was there. We chose to leave God. He didn't leave us. Even though we fouled up the world, God did not cease loving us or loving the world and kept calling us back again and again to himself, as we read in the readings from the prophets following the book of Genesis. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new," and he has. Now we can ask ourselves, if that's true, then why is there still so much sadness and darkness and death in the world? And it is. You look around at our town, you look at our country, you look at our world, and there is much, much to make one sad and discouraged. Our elected so-called leaders push policies that damage our economy, our security, our prosperity, but worst of all, they push policies that destroy and damage our morality. Even many of our church leaders fail to speak out on the immorality of the times. They're afraid of being called hypocrites, and instead they preach repentance and preach love. And instead of preaching repentance, they preach love and unity without the necessary repentance and holiness. Our secular leaders like to turn celebrities into sages. They turn perverts and the deranged into heroes, and they make health and safety into sacraments. Human beings are still trying to find perfection, but without God. And it simply cannot happen. God alone is perfect. We are imperfect. Even though our sin is forgiven, we're still damaged by original sin. And without God to give us direction, what do? We destroy ourselves. When human beings try to find perfection apart from God, it's like the person saying, "I'm going to make this onion perfect. And by making this onion perfect, I'm going to keep unpeeling every layer, every layer, every layer, every layer, until there's nothing left." That's exactly what the so-called woke people are trying to do. I'm going to find perfection for the onion by peeling it away, and then there's nothing. God restores integrity, if you would, to the onion, to use an analogy. It's perfect, it's whole, it's beautiful, it's nourishing. Only God can do that. In the world, day by day, the Christian ideals of marriage and family, the proper raising and education of children, the command to be industrious, that is, to eat by the work of our hands, to love, to serve, to obey and worship God, to love and to serve our neighbor, all these things are chipped away at. They're mocked by people, they're ridiculed and all but overthrown. And so, yes, the times we live in are dark, and it seems as though the devil has the upper hand. We see demons attempting to possess the hearts of our young people, in a particular way, those who are not born of marriage and those who are not born again of water and the Holy Spirit. The demons of sloth and envy possess the minds and bodies of the careless who will not work but demand that others pay for their wants. The demons of pride take possession of the souls who worship themselves and put the creature before the Creator. As I said, those who think they are woke are truly dead. Dead in heart, dead in mind, and dead in soul. Why? Because they're not woke. They're not alive. One can only be brought back to life in Christ. Christ alone makes all things new. Brothers and sisters, hope is not lost. The works of death can only bring about death. And since the demons hate one another, they also destroy one another. We know that evil is always self-defeating. And we cannot forget that. As the old Easter hymn puts it, Alleluia. The strife is over. The battle is done. The victory of life is won. The song of triumph has begun. Alleluia. The powers of death have done their worst, but Christ their legions has dispersed. Let shouts of praise and joy outburst. Alleluia. Alleluia. Truly, by his rising from the dead on the third day following his crucifixion, Christ has done exactly that. He has destroyed the power of sin, destroyed the power of death. He has closed the yawning gates of hell, and he has opened up heaven to those who believe in him. He has made all things new. He made us new by our baptism. He makes us new by our confirmation in the Holy Spirit. He renews us by his body and blood. It isn't that human beings do not have the capacity to change and become better, holier people. We can. The sad fact is that instead of giving in to Christ, we give in to temptation because we simply follow the way of the cross. We find the way of the cross too hard to follow. Believers should never become sad or discouraged. Instead, we have to become bold and courageous and do everything that we possibly can with the grace of God as our strength and the Holy Spirit as our guide to turn away the tide of sin, to turn away the corruption of our families, our neighborhoods, our cities, our states, our nation, our world. It's by us turning back to the risen Christ and giving ourselves to honest daily prayer and true Sunday worship. It's about us fulfilling our duties and obligations as Christians with determination and love. Work hard and do good work. Look for every opportunity to be of help to others. Keep your hearts and your minds clean and your desires pure. Be loyal to your spouse, be loyal to your family, be loyal to your community, your country, but most of all, be loyal to your God. All things are possible with him. And Christ has made all good things possible in and through us by forgiving our sins and raising us up to a new life in him. Brothers and sisters, may we never, ever forget that he came to save us from sin. He came to save us from ourselves. That is, he came to save us from the great harm that we do to one another and to ourselves through sin. Jesus calls us out of the pit of death as he called out Lazarus from the tomb, and he sends us out to proclaim the good news of freedom and salvation. As Christ lives, we must live. For Christ alone makes all things new. He rescues us from destruction and brings back life from the grave. This is indeed the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein. Amen. Alleluia.